Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Pape has everything you need when it comes to John Deere. They have tractors, mowers, implements, full parts and service. Go up and see them. If it's John Deere, they can take care of you. They also work on other brands as well.
In the old shop there? In ye old shop?
In ye old shop. We have techs that can work on pretty much anything. Go up and talk to them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. And you can also give them a call at 226-9226 or visit them on the interweb at, I'm sorry, internet.
Got to cut Bill's tongue out.
Yeah.
After the show.
You can see them at papemachinery.com.
Yeah, and it's nice. They can actually fix things. It's a rare and wonderful quality these days. People who can fix things are few and far between. Yep.
They can fix them, and if you can't bring it in, they can go out to your location and fix it on site. So fully capable crew, go up and talk to them.
I heard the guy that makes their service appointments is really nice.
Yeah, he is. He's a great guy. Been there for a long time. Been there since they've been Pape. Yeah.
He's been working on tractors
since
Jesus was a boy.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, okay, that's probably too long.
Long time.
Oh my goodness. Well, our guest this hour is our guest this show, I should say, is Dr. Shezong Chin, and he always gives us these insights on China. He still has, you know, contact with people, and that's his background. But he's lived in this country for a long time, so he has a really unique perspective on that. I think a lot of times when we watch what's happening with China, it's really easy to, well, I mean, you can only watch through your own vantage point. So when you have no real working knowledge of how the country operates, you think you're looking at one thing, and then never fails. He comes on the show and tells us stuff, and we're like, oh, okay, so we were completely looking the wrong way.
Well, we were talking about solar, and I don't think anybody can argue that China has really kind of cornered the market on solar panels. And in fact, I learned the other day that these big solar farms are putting in with primarily Chinese solar panels. The cost savings, well, let's put it this way. If you put in a solar farm, the lifespan of the panels, they say, is about 25 years. At the end of that 25-year period, you have to replace those panels, and the cost of replacing them and the cost of disposing of them, which they never talk about, when you combine those costs, it outweighs the savings you've had over that 25-year period in electrical charges. And I heard that the other day, and I was a little bit shocked that information is not widely known. And what you were saying about China making individual deals with individual states really makes sense, because it's much easier to make a deal locally with a smaller bureaucracy like a state government than it is to go federally and have to deal with all the federal departments and what have you. So that was really interesting. And how did, you know, that was really a smart move on China's part. And how do you think they were able to come up with that plan and instigate it without anybody really stepping in and saying, hey, wait a minute?
Yeah, they captured us without firing a shot again.
Yeah. That's what I called a subnational nation. Mm-hmm. Because when you have a country that coordinating with, to have a central government coordinating all different states, different cities, then the national interests get protected, right? The national interest, and there's always that potential difference between the national interest and the local interest, right? And you would need a central government to balance different states' interest. In fact, different states can work with each other to balance that interest, right? So that's the central government's rule, right? So, say a industrial state and an agriculture state can benefit from each other, right? They can exchange their product, right? And they have specialized technologies, specialized group of people, specialized business environment, and their weather conditions are all different, right? So the variations, right, creates a situation where a potential conflict between different states exists. Right? And when you're in one country, the central government is in a good place to, you know, balance that, supplement that, coordinate that. Here, the Chinese Communist Party came in to replace the central U.S. government, the federal government of the United States. Instead of the Chinese government come in and say, look, we can balance you. You deal with me. We have a large country, right? So that government essentially came in to replace the U.S. federal government. Now, the scary part that not many people know is actually the U.S. federal government facilitated that. Imagine that. I have looked up material on that. I actually wrote a short piece on China's subnational invasion of the United States. And so the State Department, before President Trump came in, had this, I forgot the exact name, but it's a program to facilitate China's economic development or cooperation with the local governments. Imagine that. Right? It happened. I didn't make this up. Right? That the U.S. central government would actually be so short-sighted that it created an office to facilitate that. So, I just talked about the governor's forum, right? Now, below the government, below the state government, there's even the city. So there's a sister city association. And then China came in as well. China have hundreds of cities to form the sister cityhood with the United States cities. San Diego, the city I'm in, is a sister city with a Yantai city in Shandong. Right. So there are hundreds of this sister city relationship between United States cities and China cities. Now, the United States Sister City Association is a true non-government organization. Right? So it's really a local community organization. What they did not know, when they form a sister city relationship with the sister city, they so naively think they're dealing with the equivalent of a civil organization in China. What they didn't know is that behind all the sister city entities in China is the central Chinese Communist Party. again, this creates a situation where the cities in the United States are all divided up and conquered by the central government of China. Again, the Chinese government, Chinese Communist government, came in to replace the United States federal government. And it's so worrisome that few people, I see very few people look at things from that perspective. Right, so now I gave three examples. Right? At the federal level, the United States allowed China to, to catch up in less than a quarter of a century, to threaten the United States from a poor and, weak country, right? And then at our economic system, right, China has changed our free and fair economy into something that at least China is a big factor, right? That you cannot say the business and the political entities cannot criticize China. If you criticize China, you will not be allowed to make money. You will be in an inferior position against those who to be favorable of China. Right? So, and then economically, technologically, China has stolen huge amount of wealth from the United States. And all this resulted in the suffering of the ordinary people in this country.
Well, they're masters of copyright.
The people.
Yeah, copyright infringement. What? And mm-hmm. I mean, I've actually heard, from people, not just read in the news or whatever, people who've invented things, and they get a contract with a big company, and they go to market it. They deliver one, they make one delivery, and then suddenly their product has a slightly different name, comes out of China, and it's sold at half the price, and they're, their invention is gone, and their copyright means nothing.
Exactly. And then you also have a situation where if you want to do business in China, you take your ideas and your manufacturing and maybe your technology over there, and you have to have a Chinese partner, and it's just a matter of time before you're no longer a partner and China owns the company.
Yeah.
And this happens over and over again, and I don't understand why companies continue to do business over there when they know that's ultimately what's going to happen. Is that what you're finding?
Yeah. And all this add together harm the people in this country tremendously. And that's why so many people lost their job. It's a systematic, it's an overall impact and weakening of this country. And yet, I have seen no one yet to put all this above together to tell the people of the United States, to explain to the people of the United States how we got things to this point, how we're weakened to this point. Instead, the public was fed with, which has some truth in it, but that's not the bottom cause. Our mainstream media will blame this country on this social subject, on that social topic, mm-hmm. on this wokeness, on that, okay? Mm-hmm. So this divert them away from the key problem. The key problem is because when we allow ourselves to be swayed away from our moral standard that's based in our belief in divinity, to deal with a system that's anti-theist. So that moral failure allowed our central government to be replaced, effectively replaced by the Chinese Communist government. As I said, you know, the Chinese government in various aspects already replaced our central government. And so basically this country, the government system has already allowed the Chinese communist system to run our lives. At the beginning, maybe very little, right? Okay, slowly, more and more, slowly, more and more. But no people has put this together. Instead, they look at other minor details, overlooking this larger picture. The larger picture is that our moral failure allowed our system to be taken over by the Chinese Communist government. Our own government is failing in that aspect.
Yeah, and we're busy silencing people.
What?
We're busy silencing people on that front, which is allowing that to further permeate. You know, you're not allowed to talk about this, that, or the other thing, and I think everybody's pretty familiar with the list that just keeps growing. Interesting part is I see people reaching a bit of a limit finally with that, I think. There's a little bit of people are over it at some level. Whether they're going to speak up yet or not is another matter. But we're counting on Liam and his generation to save us. Maybe we can. What do you think, Liam?
That's a big ask.
Come on, man. Oh my goodness, little Joe Biden pray there. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. See you right back. This kind of war, it's going to be a non-shooting war. I think everyone thinks, you know, we're going to have some sort of revolution. I hear that
right.
From people all the time, that it's going to be civil war, and I don't think people really understand what that's going to look like. I think it's going to look like what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a shooting war.
It's not a shooting war?
Fire shots, for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be... you know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, how do you take over a system that's been totally corrupted, especially when it has its own military and it's a big system. You don't take it over by marching on it.
No.
I mean, that's just not a winning strategy. You take it over from the inside with ideas. And
yeah.
And we already have those ideas. We actually were really good at them at one point. It's not like we have to learn a whole new... I don't know. I guess I'm curious what you think about that. Like, in the United States, we've had those ideas and we've been silenced and sort of, ridiculed and made to believe that those ideas are bad and outmoded and we have to go with all this new stuff. But at least we are familiar with those things. That wouldn't be going to a brand new place for us. in China, people haven't been allowed to think those ideas before. That seems like that'd be a lot heavier lift. Is it harder to go backwards or go forwards?
I think as long as that, the Chinese system, okay, that is a vampire system, right? It doesn't produce. It can only be supported by exploitation, right? So if people continue to allow that system suck their blood, and then it will sustain, right? And then worldwide, as long as, you know, the system allow the communism to live on them, then you will continue to thrive. And the only way to end it is to realize what it is and cut it, right? And this is why I say, we have new paradigm. The only way to see through this with this is this new paradigm, because if we argue politically, with different political theory, this will never end. It only if we look at from the clarity of morality, we can see what's going on. And even what we discussed today, I haven't seen people speak from this perspective. Right? So, for example, I just said earlier, minutes ago, I said, the United States government has allowed the Chinese government to step in its place to run the United States from central government down to deal with different states. And people say, how can that be possible? Right? Our president run for president, our Senate run for their position. So they run it for their power. How can they let their power go? How can they let go their government, forfeit their government to the Chinese government? That doesn't make sense. Well, it depends on what you run your position for. What do you run the president for? What do you run your public office for? Because if you run those for profit, then you're prone to be manipulated with interest. If a government can give you a bigger profit, then maybe you will listen to them. So here's another news that I intend to bring up in today's program anyway. So 2 weeks ago, China put together a lavish reception for Kissinger, who is 100 years old and has visited China over 100 times. And before Kissinger, there were Blinken, there were Yellen, there were Kerry, who visit China. And then China also refused to allow its defense minister to meet with the United States Secretary of Defense. Right? So China has been very cold in receiving or interacting with the formal U.S. Officials, cabinet members. Yet it puts such a lavish reception for Kissinger. And then Kissinger gets to meet with China's defense ministry. But this is weird, right? Even you look at it from the surface, it's weird, okay? China seemed to favor this informal diplomatic relationship through Kissinger over the official representative of the United States. And how come? And when I look at this, I say, well, that has been how China has been running and influencing the United States. Right? China has always used Wall Street, used this establishment, used like it's Kissinger. Okay, before Kissinger, by the way, before Kissinger, China has also Xi Jinping, China's head of the party, right, also met with Bill Gates. And then China has also gave a very high-profile reception to Elon Musk. Right? So it has it presents such a strong contrast of warm reception to this Wall Street or multinational businessmen or power brokers that gave a cold shoulder to official representative of the United States government. And why is that? And when I think about it, I realize that that is exactly the way the CCP is doing business. It worked with the economic people who are prone to be, you know, people who are just look at Wall Street, right? The profit is their number one concern, right? The politicians, yes, economy is important, but there are other constraints. So when China interacts with the U.S. government, China has to face with those constraints. So China tries to circumvent that through Wall Street, have the Wall Street to influence, do their biddings for them. And China has been very successful. Now, the American people were not properly informed about this. They should be. And they should connect their problem, their loss of job, their lowered wage, their financial difficulty. They should connect that with how this Wall Street multinational sellers who sell the United States interests out to China. And so these are what I call the national thief. A common thief, when caught, could be put in jail. Well, not in California, unless what you stole is over $950, then maybe you'll be troubled. Anything below that, you're free. Okay. So, in general principle, right, a common thief will be punished. Well, this national thief, like Kissinger, they sold United States government, they sold United States national interests out to China with impunity, with profit. And he's not alone.
Yeah, he was at the front edge, though.
Right. But there's a large group of that, and those people then influence Washington And they influence Washington with money, with power. And this is how our country get to where we are. But then the root problem, again, goes to how could this country allow that happen? It is not like Kissinger had no moral. It's not like they don't know anything good. Or it's not like they're robot that has no moral guidance. It's because the atheism. Well, I don't know whether they're atheism, okay, but I don't think they truly believe in God. When you truly believe in God, and you truly believe in higher principles, you use them to guide every day of your life, not just when you go to church, not just when you, you know, doing some rituals, right? That's true believing God. You use God's God-given principle to guide your everyday life. And yet this country, I think, has been lost on that for too long. And that's why I hope that this hearing on alien will give this nation a jolt, right? A wake-up shake. I hope so. Yeah, and this is why I say, you know, why they just give us a new paradigm to look at, you know, U.S.-China relationship. In fact, look at many things, not just our relationship. Just look at the U.S.-China relationship. With our current legal system, you cannot charge this national thief. But their crime is so severe. What they've stolen is billion times more than a common thief. Yet our current legal system would not allow us to press charge against them. And they're very good at arguing back, well, we're businessmen. Right? But if I'm given the opportunity to press charge them on moral grounds, I think I can nail them, right? Because it is not like you don't know. There's clear morality that you have been violating. Yeah. And the Chinese government have always been using that. And that's why the Chinese government is so warm to the Kissingers, to the Bill Gates, and then being so cold to the United States central government. The Chinese government has always wanted to destroy our way of life, to destroy our system, to destroy our central government.
Yeah, they've always, you know, they've played the long game for a long, long time, and I think I'd like to say it's coming to a head right now, but I don't really see anything that our government is doing to slow down the trend or turn it around.
I mean, no, we're still having a love fest.
Yeah, we're still just slapping them on the back.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
You know, nothing scary.
Yeah, we...
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I don't have a lot of hope, particularly with this administration, that they're going to do anything to curtail China's forward momentum in really destroying our country.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Kind of just jumped on the bandwagon, made it easier.
Yeah, we'll just all be friends.
Exactly. We'll be right back. We have to take a quick break. Our guest is Dr. Shezong Chen. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Ain't nothing but a beat thing. Better chance you're gonna buy it at the mall. But it's a 23 or 4 to 1 that you can fall in love by the end of this song. So get up, tell the bookie put a bet. I'm not a damn thing will go wrong. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright tonight. The odds are that we will probably be.
If you don't have a little spirit in the sky, I haven't played that in a while. Mm-hmm. I love that song. So Dr. Chen, it's not much of a battle. I hear people say, well, you know, China's going to come and, you know, they're putting military here and things like that. And I'm thinking, well, why? Why would they? They don't have to.
No.
Right. Exactly.
Well, they can just stay on course. They're doing fine.
They're doing fine. Yeah, and you said it exactly right. It's a war without bullet.
Yeah.
And this war has gone on for a long time. Ever since, you know, the generous barbarism rolled out. And I call the current war a greedy war. Against humanity, and they're doing fine. The Chinese Communist Party is winning big so far,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, I have hope, and I hope that this congressional hearing will make more people realize atheism or anti-theism is completely wrong, and we have to look at things differently.
And I don't think anybody would connect those two topics, actually. The hearing on aliens and the basically the war on God. I don't think that's
right.
Necessarily something that people go, oh, yeah, that's what I thought of first thing. But I think it's a great point because it's so... I mean, you look at, really if you look at the underpinning of all these crazy things that have happened, you know, all the stuff that now we can't say or can't do or all these things, it does all go back to belief. You're not allowed to have a belief system. You've got to believe in government, and you have to believe in all those things, and it's got to be pretty creepy for you coming from a place where that is the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Is it kind of scary
yeah.
to watch it happening here? You're like, oh.
Well, it is both scary, but also, I hope that people. Well, some people would come into, you know, realization of this. And this is why, you know, when when Aaron asked me about a show, this was the first topic that came into my mind. The hearing is its connection with the U.S.-China relationship, because this is really the extreme of two countries. The United States and China were actually originally at the two extremes of spectrum when it comes to, you know, the belief of God or the anti-theist. They were the two extremes. Right? The United States, even in the free world, it really felt the city on the hill. Right? So it was one extreme. And the CCP is still on the other extreme. And yet, these two extremes start to sleep in the same bed. And people still do not realize the significance of that, or devastation of that. Right? And so, I don't think this hearing is accidental, and I believe is the divine's way to give us one more chance to look at things differently. This is divine's mercy once again. So to have the people to realize this is wrong, something's really wrong. Aliens are not God. And from the hearing, we already know that human beings, technology is not even close. There's no match for alien technology. Sooner or later, human beings will have to realize that we are at the mercy of anti-theism, or even at the mercy of aliens. Eventually, we will have to look up to God, to divinity, for our guidance, for our protection. You know, we're not yet, as you pointed out, we're not yet there. But sooner or later, we will be forced to think about it.
Yeah, so we used to take that for granted. I mean, that was a major part. Gosh, okay, I'm old, but when I was a kid, nothing was open on Sunday. Nothing was open on Sunday. You couldn't. I mean, you might have there was a little corner market, mm-hmm. but if you screwed up and needed something at that store, you paid double what it would have been at the regular grocery, but. Most stuff wasn't open because that was, you didn't have ball games. I remember when they first started having, tournaments and different things like that on the weekends. My dad blew a fuse. You know, that was family time, Saturday and Sunday. That was yeah. family time. And now people.
Traditional.
Yeah. It was considered. I mean, I remember some kid would show up at your house on their bike. Hey, can they come out and play? My dad would just be like, at the door. Look, it's Saturday. It's family day.
No, you're right. Nothing was open on Sunday.
Nothing was open on Sunday.
No, you didn't work on Sunday.
Nope.
There was nothing really open. You didn't really do any shopping.
They called them
like
the blue laws, remember?
Yeah.
I don't know why they were blue, but it was called the blue laws, and they didn't sell alcohol. There was a ton of stuff that wasn't available that day, and it's funny, my dad finally got smart. He'd let the kid come in and then show him all the shovels in the backyard because we were always doing some project. And, hey, glad you came over. Get a shovel. And then, pretty much kids quit coming over. My dad ended it. But yeah, now there's no respect for family time. I remember I had a friend of mine, her kids were way younger than my kids, but they had a soccer tournament. I also didn't let my kids play soccer because it seemed stupid. They had a soccer tournament on Thanksgiving weekend. They had to be gone on Thanksgiving to travel to be there on Friday. And it's like, are you kidding me? For soccer? And these kids were like in the fifth and sixth grade. I mean, it's not like they were going to the Olympics or something. I don't know. I think all those things, obviously there's more to it than that, but it kind of walks us into a place where culturally we're open to these ideas that we don't need God and he's not important.
Mm-hmm. So eventually, I expect it to be sooner than later, that we are forced to look for guidance from above. So where would this guidance come from or courage come from? And to me, a natural place would be where people have been able to resist the most evil force of all, the Chinese Communist Party, would be the source of guidance and courage. And we all know that Falun Gong had been able to resist the most evil regime of all, the Chinese Communist Party. And they have shown that they have the power, they have the courage, they have the principle, they have the steely will to stand up to the Chinese Communist Party. And hopefully, I think, people will rethink about that.
It's sad when you think about it. In this country, you know, people can practice their faith whenever they want to, however they want to, and so many people don't. It's not important. They don't care about it. And you look at people who live, like in China, for instance, who just want to be left alone and practice their faith, and they are persecuted, jailed, and killed for that. I mean, it's not even an option.
And organ harvested for that.
And then there's the old organ harvesting program, the capitalism of China. It's unfortunate, but sometimes I think when things are easy, that's when you take things for granted. I think history would bear that out. We've done that lots of times.
Right. And the inspiration of Falun Gong practitioners is very simple. They want to be a good person. They want to be good people. And for that, they get persecuted. And for the purpose of being a good person, they're willing to sacrifice their lives. I once was in a, I was seeing a senator, what's her name? California senator.
Feinstein?
Yeah, Brian, yeah.
Diane?
And Diane Feinstein, yeah. And her chief of staff said, you know, we cannot help you, meaning following practitioners. You keep going to lion's dens. That's not true. We are only insisting our right to be a good person. And then lately, he came to the realization that a good person, right, the definition of a good person, I have a new definition of a good person. I think a good person is someone who not only can keep a moral standard for himself. A good person is someone who can make the society better, make the environment better, make everything better. And I think that's what Falun Gong practitioners are. They, by defending their own right, they set an example of the power of principles, higher principles. And they're in this fight against the most evil regime, the Chinese Communist Party. And all government right now, it's getting a little better now, but for a long time, the free world, governments around the world, all work with the Chinese government or the Chinese Communist government for their economic benefit and look away from their persecution of Falun Gong, of human rights lawyers, of other things.
And I don't think history is going to be kind in the end result with all of that when we look back at how complicit, whether people realized it or not. I think it's time kind of woke up a little bit on what was happening there. You know, Dr. Chen, we have somehow hit the end of another segment with you. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Our guest has been Dr. Shazong Chen. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back, though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.